Let's read together Luke chapter 6, verses 1 through 16. In this first portion of Luke chapter 6, we have our Lord's proper use of the Sabbath day and his call of the 12 apostles. Let's begin by reading the first 11 verses. Luke chapter 6, beginning of verse 1. Now it happened on the second Sabbath, after the first, that he went through the grain fields. And his disciples plucked the heads of grain and ate them, rubbing them in their hands. And some of the Pharisees said to them, "Why are you doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath?" But Jesus answering them said, "Have you not even read this, what David did when he was hungry, he and those who were with him? How he went into the house of God, took and ate the showbread, and also gave some to those with him, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat. And he said to them, 'The Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath.'" Now it happened on another Sabbath also that he entered the synagogue and taught, and a man was there whose right hand was withered. So the scribes and Pharisees watched him closely, whether he would heal on the Sabbath, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts and said to the man who had the withered hand, "Arise and stand here." And he arose and stood. Then Jesus said to them, "I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy?" And when he had looked around at them all, he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he did so, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. But they were filled with rage and discussed with one another what they might do to Jesus. Let's begin our study of this first section of Luke chapter 6 with some background notes. The self-righteous scribes and Pharisees were the legalists of Jesus' day. They found fault with the Lord and his disciples for doing anything on the Sabbath, including good and necessary things. They had a wrong idea and wrong interpretation of the law concerning the Sabbath and misunderstood what the Sabbath was all about. In order to correct their wrong thinking about the Sabbath and expose their self-righteous legalism, it seems that the Lord purposely chose the Sabbath to do a number of his miracles. This certainly seems to be the case here in Luke chapter 6, where the Lord healed the man with the withered hand in the synagogue on the Sabbath day. The scribes and Pharisees said that practicing medicine on the Sabbath was work. So if Jesus healed this man, he would be breaking the Sabbath. In fact, the scribes and Pharisees were hoping that Jesus would heal the man, not for the good and well-being of the man, but so that they could accuse Jesus of breaking their man-made rules about the Sabbath. Notice from verse 8 that the Lord knew exactly what they were thinking, another proof of Christ's deity, and certainly an indication that the Lord purposely chose a Sabbath occasion to confront the self-righteous legalism of the scribes and Pharisees. In verse 9, the Lord said to the scribes and Pharisees, "I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy?" In other words, not to help this man when he could be helped would be wrong and causing harm and evil and destroying life on any day of the week, including the Sabbath. The evil heart of the Pharisees was exposed when the Lord showed compassion and restored the man's withered hand to full strength. How wonderful. You know, this account brings to mind a golf outing I was involved in a couple of weeks ago. It was called a scramble, and in my group was a young man with a withered hand. He played golf essentially with one hand and did amazingly well. But it was so sad to realize how much better he could be if he had the full use of his other hand. I was able to share with him a gospel tract entitled "Life is More Than Golf," written by Tom Lehman, a Christian professional golfer. Now, our first doctrinal point comes from the other Sabbath event recorded here in Luke chapter 6. This was the occasion where the Pharisees found fault with the Lord's disciples for picking and eating grain on the Sabbath. Notice, by the way, how Luke records both Sabbath confrontations immediately following the Lord's parable of the new cloth and the old cloth and the new wine and the old wineskins at the end of chapter 5. Certainly, both of these Sabbath events illustrate the contrast between the old teachings of Judaism and the new teachings of our Lord. So, doctrinal point number one, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. When the Pharisees observed the disciples picking and eating some grain as they were walking through a grain field on the Sabbath, the Pharisees questioned the Lord in verse 2. Why are you doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath? Notice how the Pharisees were observing every move that the Lord and his disciples made, obviously looking for something they could criticize. Now, the Pharisees were not finding fault with the disciples for taking some grain to eat from someone's field, because the law allowed this. I'm reading Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse 25. When you come into your neighbor's standing grain, you may pluck the heads with your hand, but you shall not use a sickle on your neighbor's standing grain. In other words, you could take and eat from your neighbor's field if you were hungry, but you couldn't harvest the grain. That would be stealing. So the Pharisees were not criticizing the act of the disciples here, but the fact that they were doing it on the Sabbath was the problem to their way of thinking. There were several breaches of their man-made Sabbath laws. Plucking the grain was reaping, and therefore work. Rubbing the grain in their hands was threshing, and therefore work. Throwing the husks away was winnowing, and therefore work. Well, our Lord began his answer to these self-righteous Pharisees with a stinging rebuke. Look there at verse 3, right? Have you not even read this, what David did when he was hungry, he and those who were with him? That is, have you no knowledge of God's word? I wonder how often the Lord would say that to us in reference to our hang-ups. Now, when the Lord referred to David eating the consecrated bread, he was referring to the account in 1 Samuel chapter 21, where David and his men, when escaping from King Saul in time of need, were given the showbread or consecrated bread of the tabernacle holy place, which normally only the priests were to eat according to the law. However, the Lord condoned David's action because this was not a moral law, but a ceremonial law. In the same way, keeping the Sabbath was not a moral law, like thou shalt not kill or thou shalt not commit adultery, but it was a ceremonial or civil law made for the good of mankind. Normally, you keep ceremonial laws and civil laws, but when people are in serious need of food, as in this case, such a matter supersedes ceremonial or civil law. A contemporary illustration of this would be the action we would take if we saw someone having a heart attack in the local library. We would break the ceremonial law of please keep quiet as we called out for help, and we would break the civil speed limit in order to get the person to the hospital as quickly as possible. In other words, the letter of the law should not take precedence over the spirit of the law. That is, the spirit of the law is for the good of mankind, not for his untimely death or illness because of the letter of the law. When the Lord said in verse 5 that the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath, he did not mean that he could break the Sabbath, but that he was the creator of the Sabbath and had the right view of the Sabbath and had the right interpretation of the law concerning the Sabbath. The creator is over what he has created. This biblical truth has many applications. The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Doctrinal point number 2. Important decisions demand much prayer. Important decisions demand much prayer. Verses 12 through 16. Luke chapter 6, beginning now at verse 12. Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called his disciples to himself, and from them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. Simon, whom he also named Peter, and Andrew his brother, James and John, Peter and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called the Zealot, Judas the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who also became a traitor. We know the Lord had many disciples, that is, people who followed him and believed on him. We learn in Luke chapter 10 that the Lord sent 70 disciples out to every city with a message of the kingdom. Out of these many disciples, the Lord chose 12 of them to be his special apostles and gave them power to do miracles, along with and backing up the message of the kingdom. When we compare this list of the 12 apostles given here with the lists in Matthew and Mark, we find that several of the apostles went by more than one name. The important point here is that the Lord spent all night in prayer, verse 12, before making this important decision as to how many apostles he should call and who should he call. These were important decisions, and the Lord spent all night in prayer. There are many important decisions for all of us to make in life, and we need to spend time in prayer. Go to college or not go to college? What university? Who to marry? What job or career? Where to locate? What about family? What church to attend? What ministry or Christian service to get involved in? The important point here is pray, and God will answer. Important decisions demand much prayer. Now, what about practical application? Practical application number one. Have we ever spent a whole night in prayer? Have we ever spent a whole night in prayer? Now, this practical application logically follows our last doctrinal point. Important decisions demand much prayer. If important decisions demand much prayer, then to pray all night has a proper place in the Christian life. So again, the question, have we ever spent a whole night in prayer? We've seen that the Lord spent all night in prayer before he chose the 12 apostles. Verse 12, once again. Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. So once again, the question for us, have we ever spent a whole night in prayer? I've tried, but I've never made it all the way through the night without falling asleep. Now, I hope that fact does not mean that I don't realize the importance of prayer. I do realize the importance of prayer. And so this question is good for all of us. Have we ever spent a whole night in prayer? Now, for our second practical application, let's go back to the miracle of the healing of the man with the withered hand. So practical application number two, let God's strength be seen in your weakness. Let God's strength be seen in your weakness. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9, the Lord said to the Apostle Paul, "My strength is made perfect in weakness." We see this biblical truth illustrated here in this miracle of the healing of the man with the withered hand. The Lord asked the man with the withered hand to come forward in front of everyone. This was probably not easy for this handicapped man. But the Lord was glorified because God's power was clearly seen as this man by faith stretched out his hand. Let me ask you, do you have any weakness? Listen, reach out in faith and let God's strength be seen in your weakness.